to school today. Rise and shine and welcome to school today. We're so glad you're here.
Halo, selamat siang. Hari ini kita akan bertemu dengan Miss Pamela Siegel. Miss Pamela adalah seorang educator. Dia adalah founder, direktur, dan trainer dari ESI Kids Singapore. Pamela Siegel ini, dia memiliki lebih dari 20 tahun pengalaman di dunia pendidikan. Dia sudah mengajar, memberikan training untuk guru-guru di Singapura, Malaysia, Australia. Dan 2 tahun terakhir ini, Miss Pamela banyak menghabiskan waktunya di Jakarta untuk training dan pendidikan untuk guru-guru di Jakarta. ESI Kids Singapore sendiri adalah education consulting company dari Singapura. ESI Kids Singapore adalah curriculum developer and teacher trainer. Jadi ESI menyediakan membuat kurikulum sekaligus memberikan training untuk guru-gurunya. Kurikulum spesial dari ESI Kids Singapore adalah ESI Kids yang sekarang dipakai di NTUC Childcare Singapore. Itu adalah childcare dengan lebih dari 150 cabang. Nah, selama 2 tahun di Jakarta ini, Miss Pamela banyak memperkenalkan konsep menarik tentang emotional intelligence untuk anak-anak prasekolah dan juga teacherpreneur. Dan seperti apa lebih lengkapnya teacherpreneur dan social intelligence? Let's see. Mari kita dengar langsung dari Miss Pamela. Hello, Pam.
Hi, Novita. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you, Pam?
I'm great. What about you?
I'm good. So happy to have you here. So, Pam, we are going to have this discussion about ESI Kids Singapore and all about emotional aspects for children education and also the teachers, yeah?
That's right.
Yeah, so maybe for the starting, you can tell us about ESI Kids.
Okay. ESI Kids, the E stands for emotionally, the S stands for socially, the I stands for intelligent. So it means emotionally, socially intelligent kids. So kids that are well-balanced and well-grounded emotionally, socially, academically, intellectually. So it's a holistic approach. That's the meaning of an ESI kid. Yeah.
So it emphasizes on the emotional aspect of the kids, right?
Definitely. The pre-foundation to a child's well-being is definitely their emotional and social state, how strong it is, yes.
Why emotional aspect, Pam? Is that any specific reason or experience that make you choose this approach?
Well, if you think about it, right, from birth until the age of even 8, the children are still in early childhood. So it's a window of opportunity where their values, their character, their personality, their likes, their dislikes, they are in their formative years. So isn't this the best time to actually teach the children about social and emotional lessons in the things that they will be facing? So that is something that will make the child well-grounded and balanced, because when they go to primary school, that's a different transition. And at the same time, even in preschool, especially in Asia, they always focus on the academic, both with parental expectation and demand. So that puts pressure on the children. So that's why it's very important to be an ESI kid.
You have been in this industry, in the education business, for more than 20 years.
Yes, it's a long time. I started probably when I was 20, 21 years old. Yeah, it's a long time.
What makes you really into this education?
Because I'm passionate. I run on my passion to be in something, in an industry that if you're a teacher especially, obviously, you know, sometimes you need to progress and upgrade. So when I started, I was a teacher, and then I'm from the school of hard knocks when I become a teacherpreneur, because that's a teacher with an entrepreneurial mindset. So I think with all the experiences that I've had, from being a teacher to a lecturer to a curriculum developer to the business owner and even doing consulting work, I still love, at the end of the day, I'm a teacher at heart. I like to sit in a classroom with kids and have fun and learn with them at the same time.
And in your curriculum, you emphasize on your main focus is in emotional aspect, emotional education.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Why? Why emotional? Do you have any special experience?
There was a point in my life, yes, that I was not an emotionally, socially intelligent child. I think it stems from me being being an only child and also being brought up in a very sheltered family environment. And at the same time, being shy and introverted, it doesn't help you, especially in when you're younger growing up. So I think I had a personal experiences when I was in primary school. I was actually very bad in math. And I remember I was about 10 years old. I used to have this math teacher, and she was also my form teacher. And we would have a quiz every week. And in that quiz, I would be the one that would probably get 0 or 1. Maybe there were 5 questions. You had to do problem solving or mental calculation in your head. And I was very weak in that. And then she would, motion that she would give me a crown. And she asked me to stand up. And she says, "Miss Zero Queen, please receive your crown." And all my friends would say, "Hey, Zero Queen, stand up." So I think that left a scar in me, and it traumatized me because the teacher bullied me, and then the teacher said it was okay for my peers to bully me. So I think that triggered in me the importance of standing up for myself and having self-confidence and self-esteem because I was alone, right? Yeah. So probably that was one experience that made me reflect about the importance of in this day and age, social and emotional resilience in kids, especially preschool.
Yeah, so that happens to many kids these days, even these
days. I believe so.
Yeah, and turn out that those who need that emotional education are not just the students, not just the kids, but also the teachers as well.
On the other side of the coin, the teachers as well needs to be an emotionally, socially intelligent teacher. They themselves need to have self-regulation, and they need to know, for example, when you want to have a good classroom management, the holistic way to do it, the emotionally intelligent way to do it. And it's not about raising your voice and shouting. I see here in the classrooms in Jakarta, in the preschools, even with private national plus schools, the teachers are shouting and raising their voices. And I'm not sure whether the children actually understand the reasons why the teacher is being angry. So rather than, shout at them when they're not listening to you or paying attention, you should think of other ways to actually get them to realize what they are doing is disrupting the classes. So we also teach that to teachers as well, holistic ways in managing the class. Yeah.
Yeah. Teachers are the keys, right?
Teachers are the keys to make or break it in the learning process, for sure. Yes. Yeah.
So you can only have the happy and balanced kids from happy and balanced teachers.
150%. Yes, you're right.
Okay. So Pam, those emotional challenges are happening in all over the world, I guess, even in very developed countries like Singapore or Malaysia or Australia, and also Jakarta and other areas.
I think this point about socially and emotionally intelligent teachers can you start the question again?
So actually, Pam, this emotional challenge for teachers and students, the challenge is that happens everywhere. Everyone faces this challenge, either in developed countries like Singapore or Australia or many remote areas or small village. It's everyone's problem, everyone's challenge.
I think to be a good teacher, you need to have the feeling component inside. So you don't just think and learn when you teach. You have to think, feel and learn, especially if you're in the role and in the position of a teacher. So yes, I think it's prevalent in developed countries like where I come from in Singapore, or even developing countries in Jakarta. Yes, it's everywhere.
How do you see that the differences in your 20 years experience, the emotional challenge that the kids and teachers face in their daily life or daily classroom?
Okay, let's talk about, you know, in Jakarta. I think that the teachers here, right, I think that most of them, if they teach from their passion, then they love their work and they are happy. And I think that happiness for your job and loving what you do is very important. However, if you're just teaching and you're just teaching for the sake of the income, then that's a different point of view. And then it will show in the way you interact with the kids and also in the way you deliver. So I think that's a universal question that you ask me. It's not just only in Jakarta. It could be in Malaysia, in Australia, anywhere. Yeah.
I heard that you have told me once that you have worked in a remote village in North Thailand. How do you experience that?
Oh, that was when I started ESI. That was a long time ago. That was in the year 2007. Actually, at that point of time, 2005, I already started writing my ESI curriculum in terms of lesson plans. And I wanted to trial run my lesson plans. And I thought, hey, why not, you know, give back and go to Mae Hong San. So Mae Hong San is a village in the Thai-Myanmar border. And I went there in the year 2007. I think it was a very eye-opening and a very humbling experience because that's a remote area and it's very rural. So I think the teachers there are themselves socially and emotionally challenged in many ways. So it's not only just to train the teachers and adapt and integrate the ESI method into you know, their context, but at the same time, the self-work that the teachers needed as well in themselves. Yeah. So we needed to focus on social and emotional confidence in the teachers. And then we talk about how to deliver the lesson in terms of their context and their challenges, because it was a resource-poor situation.
But emotionally, their challenges are quite similar, right? Whether it's in Singapore, Australia, or even Mae Hong San?
I think if you talk about emotional and social challenges, I think it would be more in a resource-poor environment like Mae Hong San, because they face poverty, right? Even more challenging situation. It's a vicious cycle. But I think that those teachers that were in that group, they actually love their job. They actually love to be around the kids, to teach them how to read and write, basic English, arithmetic, math. So when I came in, it was a happy time. And they learned how to use the resources around them to create their lessons without buying anything from you know, their home or from their environment. So I think the point that because they were happy to teach, that helped a lot. They were happy to receive the children and to do what they could best in that environment, despite their own economic challenges. Yeah.
So whether you are in a place like Singapore or Melbourne or even Mae Hong San, the teachers are the keys, right?
At the end of the day, yes, they are the keys, yes.
Okay, thank you, Pam. Thank you for sharing.
You're very welcome, Navita.
Halo, selamat siang. Kita ketemu lagi kali ini kembali dengan Miss Pamela Siegel. Miss Pamela Siegel adalah founder, director, and also trainer dari ESI Kids Singapore. ESI Kids Singapore sendiri adalah education consulting company dari Singapura yang fokus pada pendidikan anak-anak usia prasekolah. Apa yang bikin spesial dari ESI Kids Singapore ini? Kurikulum pendidikan ESI Kids itu berbasis pada pendidikan emosional dan social skills. Dan Miss Pamela sendiri sudah berkecimpung dalam industri pendidikan selama lebih dari 20 tahun. Dia mengajar, berpengalaman mengajar di Singapura, Malaysia, Australia, bahkan di desa terpencil di Thailand Utara. Dan kurikulum spesial dari ESI Kids Singapore adalah ESI Kids. Saat ini dipakai di NTUC Childcare Singapore, childcare dengan lebih dari 150 cabang. Nah, kali ini Miss Pamela akan banyak bercerita, akan sharing dengan kita tentang ESI Teacher di sesi yang kedua ini. Dan apa itu ESI Teacher? Let's see. Kita dengar langsung dari Miss Pamela. Hello again, Pam. How are you?
Oh, hi, Nawita. It's good to see you again and have this conversation.
Yeah.
Round two.
Yes. Yeah. Now, last time we talk about ESI Singapore, ESI Kids, and that the teachers are the key for the students' intelligence, emotional intelligence, and well balance. So actually, what is ESI Teacher, Pam? Is that something different with what is the difference with the just teacher?
Well, if you are just a teacher, I guess you would look at how smart the teacher is, how knowledgeable she is, and how experienced she is in the subject that she's teaching. Or if it's a preschool teacher, how long she's been teaching in the preschool, in the classroom. So that's just a teacher. And the role of the teacher, the traditional teacher, is just to have a knowledge transfer, right? I'm the teacher, you're the student. My job is to make sure that you know that particular subject, I specialize it, or if it's a preschool teacher, that I get you school ready. So that's a teacher. But an ESI teacher is someone that has the feeling component. So the role of the teacher isn't just to make the kids think and learn, but to also have some feeling aspect in the learning processes. So an ESI teacher is someone that thinks, feels and learns, not only for the students, but in herself. That means she's enjoying her job, she's passionate about what she's doing, but at the same time, she's feeling about the activities. For example, if the kids are going to have fun, if the activities are catering to all the learning styles in her classes, if she is being an engaging teacher in that activity or in that subject, she will also look at the whole child. That means she wouldn't just look at the academic part of the child, but also, if they are having some challenges in her lesson, maybe it's an emotional one. So she will look at that aspect as well. I mean, I'm giving you various scenarios, but what I'm saying is the teacher herself is feeling about her classroom, her students, and she's feeling about how her lessons are and what impact that it makes in the learning process. So that's the feeling part, not just only focusing on the academic results. Yeah.
So Pam, you are a teacher and also a teacher trainer. So actually, you know very well what are the most challenging situations that teachers these days face in their daily classrooms.
Okay, I can put it into two parts. One part is parental demands and expectations. I think that parental demands and expectations will never go away, and that also puts pressure on the teacher, and then she may feel pressured and put pressure on the students. That's an external. I think the internal one, I think, is how she engages her class, and if she is maximizing the the time that she has within that lesson to make sure that the all learning capabilities are engaged in her class. I know that's very general, but I think that's more or less two sides of the story. Yeah.
So, and the second one?
The second one, as I've just mentioned, is inside the classroom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The how to make the classroom engaging, right?
Engaging, and at the same time, making sure that there are different learning styles in the classroom, different kids with different learning needs. She's able to cater to those needs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, how ESI kids help teachers to face that challenges?
I think if you are an ESI teacher, as I said before, you're not just a teacher who is just only by the textbook and you just want them to have all this knowledge and receive the learning. But you would also take a step back, especially if you're in preschool, because ESI kids, our focus is in the early years, from the age of 4 to the age of 8. So you need to think about a couple of roles that the teacher will play. You have to be a guide, you have to be a nurturer, you have to be a friend. You also have to be a role model, and you have to be a teacher. So there are many different roles that they play. Yeah.
So basically for children at the early age, teachers are not just teachers, but they are also facilitators for the kids, right?
Facilitators, guides, role models, friends, yes.
Yeah.
Many roles into one.
And what quality should a teacher have to be an ESI teacher?
Well, if you are an ESI teacher, I think besides thinking and learning, you need to be happy to be in the classroom with the children day in, day out, especially the young children. You need to be happy to see them, happy to make your lessons creative, fun, to put in the hard work, of course, to make your lessons engaging and interactive, to always be reflective also in your practice after your classes or your activities to see if you can improve upon them. And I think to be willing and open for feedback, definitely.
So basically, you have to teach with your heart and mind, right?
Yes, that's right.
Because happy kids only comes from happy teachers.
Happy kids come from happy teachers. It's a simple equation, but it's also a challenge. It's like a chicken and egg problem.
Which one comes first, Pam?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, thank you, Pam. Thank you for sharing. Kita ketemu lagi di sesi ketiga bersama Pamela Siegel. Miss Pamela Siegel ini adalah founder, direktur, dan trainer dari ESI Kids Singapore. ESI Kids Singapore adalah education consulting company dari Singapore yang berfokus pada pengembangan kurikulum dan teacher training untuk anak-anak usia prasekolah. Miss Pamela sendiri adalah seorang trainer, juga seorang guru dengan pengalaman lebih dari 20 tahun. Dia sudah berpengalaman mengajar di berbagai tempat dengan berbagai karakter dari Singapura, Malaysia, Australia, sampai desa terpencil di Thailand Utara. Nah, kali ini kita akan berbicara soal mindset. Salah satu kunci dari pendidikan anak-anak itu adalah guru dengan mindset yang tepat. Nah, apa itu? Let's hear from Miss Pam. Hello, Pam.
Hey, hi, Nawita. How are you?
So, we are in the third session.
Yes,
right,
wow.
Now.
We've had this conversation for 3 times now. That's a record, right?
Yeah. So, you have mentioned a lot in your writings and also in your workshops about growth mindset. So actually, how important is that for education, for educators to that concept about growth mindset?
Okay, first of all, before you talk about the growth mindset, right, I think you need to look at the term mindset. Mindset is basically a noun, and it talks about your thoughts, your actions, your beliefs, and so on. So that's a mindset. So when you have a growth mindset, the term growth mindset actually is coined by Carol Dweck. She wrote a book called Growth Mindset. So basically, a growth mindset is one that is always learning and open to new challenges. It's not fixed. It's not limiting yourself, not limiting your self-beliefs and limiting yourself. So for example, you know, statements, if you have a fixed mindset, kids would say, I'm not good at this. Like me, when I was bullied, we talked about that in the first session. So my teacher wasn't a growth-minded teacher. She, the words that she used and her actions obviously made me want to give up. So I probably would have said, I give up. I'm not good at this. I'm a failure. So that's a fixed mindset. Opposed to a growth mindset, right? If my teacher at that point of time, my math teacher, I shall refrain from saying her name. Yeah, you know, she would have probably had a different strategy to encourage me, to motivate me, and to build my self-esteem. She would have said, I know it's hard, but let's try a different way to work it out. That would be a statement that is growth-minded. Or, you know, don't give up. Keep trying. We'll do this together. So you could already hear, right, the two different examples from what is a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. So I hope that answers the question of what is a growth mindset. Yeah.
And why it's important for kids and both for kids and the teachers, right?
To have
that growth mindset. Why, Pam?
Why? Because if you stop learning, you stop growing, you stop believing when you have a fixed mindset, right? For example, as I said, for children, they are very fragile. So I was in a very fragile state. So sometimes if you have that kind of belief, it's self-limiting. You think, oh, I'm not able to do this. I'm born this way. I'm born not being good at math, so you just give up. I think that's the bottom line.
So basically, that's the mindset that builds your self confidence, your perseverance, and
self esteem. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Also, happiness, I think, comes into it.
That's
the emotional point, the emotional part. The emotional intelligence is also a big part of having a growth mindset. It's a combination of various ingredients. Yeah.
You have mentioned before in our previous session that happy kids and happy teachers are very important in learning process, right?
Yes.
And I think growth mindset is one of the most important element as well in building that happiness.
150% right again.
That's it. And if I am a teacher, what should I do or should I teach to my kids so that they have emotionally balanced and also growth mindset?
Okay, that can be a very simple example, right? When you, as a teacher, okay, kids in your class, right, maybe they annoy you or they do a behavior that is disrupting the class, instead of saying, oh, can you stop disrupting the class, maybe you can think of another way to actually phrase that. Could you please have more patience and be a good listener? Maybe you could think of a different statement to say with the children. You should address the statement with the expected and desired behavior instead of putting the negative. Because the previous statement was a negative. Can you please stop disrupting the class?
So it's the way we communicate and interact with the kids, yeah?
Interaction, definitely. And communication, yes.
And growth mindset should be in the teacher's mindset as well. And if I'm a teacher, how do I know that I have that growth mindset? Or what should I do to have that growth mindset? Because I think teachers are the keys. I'm the one who is teaching my kids, right? What should I do to build a growth mindset?
I mean, first of all, they need to be honest with themselves. I think honesty is the first thing. They need to take a step back, and I think they need to come up with a list of all the fixed mindset activities or statements or routines that are limiting them from having a growth mindset. For example, in the classroom, as I've mentioned, when the kids are disruptive, how are you, what are you saying and how are you communicating? That's number one. Maybe they could start from there. Number two, maybe in themselves personally, they could, you know, ask themselves, reflect upon themselves, how they are thinking. Are they saying that, you know, I'm too old to learn new creative methods to make my class more interesting and fun? Something of those lines could also help them. So they have to reflect on themselves, how they are thinking, the teacher themselves. For example, classroom management, as I was saying before. Maybe the first thing and the easiest thing that they will do is their behaviors, they will shout. They will get angry and they will shout. So in their mind, they need to think about their checklist. Oh, the first thing, maybe in their daily routine, classroom management, I shout, I get angry when my class is not listening to them. So the growth minded way would be, I need to think of new strategies and ways on how I address the children when they are not paying attention. Yeah. So they need to have their own checklist, the teachers. And we actually came up with a 14-day growth minded checklist for teachers. You know, for example, I could share it with you. Number one, first day, think. Are you in a fixed mindset or a growth mindset? Make a checklist based on the fixed and growth mindset chart and write down a list which one describes you. So we actually have a chart as well that talks about statements that are for fixed and growth mindset, and they can actually refer to that chart and then make a list. And number two, we talk about, imagine if you have a superpower to make life perfect. What area will that be? Describe and write down how does it look and how do you achieve that perfect life. And number three, on day three, set your goal. So based on what you created on day two, write down the goals that you want to achieve. Describe them as clear and detailed as possible. So we have many other steps as well that we came up with to help teachers. But the first thing is to be honest with yourself and make a list.
Okay, thank you, Pam. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Hello again, hari ini kita ketemu lagi dengan Miss Pamela Siegel. Ini merupakan sesi keempat kita dengan Miss Pamela. Oh iya, sebelumnya aku perkenalkan dulu bahwa Miss Pamela Siegel ini adalah founder, direktur, dan trainer dari ESI Kids Singapore. ESI Kids Singapore adalah education consulting company dari Singapura yang memfokuskan pendidikan pada anak-anak usia prasekolah dan pendidikannya fokus pada pendidikan emosi, emotional and social intelligence. Miss Pamela Siegel ini adalah seorang teacher, seorang guru dan juga seorang trainer, dan dia sudah berpengalaman selama 20 tahun lebih dalam industri pendidikan di Singapura, Malaysia, Australia, dan 2 tahun terakhir ini Miss Pamela Siegel banyak fokus di Jakarta. Kurikulum spesial dari ESI ke Singapura adalah ESI Kids. Dipakai saat ini dipakai di NTUC Childcare Singapura dengan lebih dari 150 cabang. Apa itu ESI Kids dan bagaimana kiprah Miss Pamela Siegel di Jakarta? Bagaimana experience-nya dengan guru-guru dan anak-anak di Jakarta? Kita akan mendengarkan bersama-sama di sesi yang keempat ini. Hello, Pam.
Hello again, Nawita. Yeah, how are you?
I'm good. So how are you so far? Enjoy Jakarta?
Yeah, I love it. Apart from the macet-macet, I love everything else about it, especially the food.
Oh, really? You love Jakarta food, yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, Pam. Today in this season, we will talk about your experience in Jakarta.
Okay.
Your ESI experience in Jakarta. So today, Pam, we are... In this session, we talk about your experience with Jakarta, in Jakarta, how you work with teachers, how you work with the kids here in Jakarta. So, how is it, Pam? How do you see teachers in Jakarta?
Well, we started here since 2017 here in Jakarta. And I think that the challenges that the teachers face here in Jakarta are the lack of soft skills in making their classes engaging, interactive, and creative, and at the same time, language proficiency. I'm talking about English language. They have lack of confidence in using the English language in the classroom. Yeah. These are the two main challenges that I see. Mm-hmm. And I think it's back related to their emotional state that the teachers themselves need to have a good self-esteem and a self-confidence, to be wanting to have a growth mindset, right, as we talked about in the last session, to be able to keep growing and learning. Yes.
So you have been in Jakarta for about 2 years, yeah?
Yes.
What have you done during that 2 years?
Well, what have I done? I've done a lot of things. I think the couple of things that I'm wanting to talk about is also my books. You forgot to ask me about that, Nawita.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. ESI Kids Singapore, we run our lessons in government chain childcare, and you've mentioned one of them, the NTUC childcare group. So our teachers use our lesson plans and they run it in the classes there. But I thought over the last 4 years, I've decided to compile all the lesson plans that the teachers are using into a series of teacher guidebooks so that the teachers in other schools in countries like Jakarta, the school owners or the principals can have access to this, our method, our curriculum. And we also have student activity books and resource books for teachers, so the teachers don't have to actually plan their lessons. A resource book has all the goodies that they need, from the pictures to teaching charts to even songs. So it's a whole package that I'm very proud to say I've actually almost finished now. Yeah.
So basically, you have everything in the books, and teachers will really get help from the books. Yeah.
They will get a bundle of benefits. I like to put it that way. It's a bundle of goodies and benefits to enable them to bring themselves not only one level ahead, but a big, big step ahead in themselves with the lack of skills that we talked about before, that I've mentioned, that I've seen in the schools here with the teachers. Yes.
How do you think that will help teachers here in Jakarta?
I think the teachers will be able to think, feel and learn, opposed to just think and learn, because that's the missing element It's the feeling component. It's the soft skills, like the teachers themselves need to probably be 21st century upgraded. They need to upskill themselves. So this upskilling process, from the point of view of the teachers here in Jakarta, they need soft skills. For example, communication skills, problem-solving skills. They even need to have skills like, you know, new and interactive teaching methods, think, pair, share activities, many other things as well. But besides that, I think the process of getting these skills, how they acquire these skills, I think it's got to do with the materials that they are reading, and if the materials are easy to use, teacher friendly, so we've made them as such for the teachers. Yeah.
So can you tell me what have you done with that here in Jakarta with that?
Yeah, I got carried away about telling you about my books that I was going to come back to that point. You reminded me. Thank you. I think that when I've been here, I was very happy and have been doing teacherpreneur workshops. And these workshops are the ESI Kids Corporate Social Responsibility Project. Because as I've mentioned to you, my passion is in teaching. And I've been a teacher at heart. So teacherpreneur, as I've mentioned, I think in session one, is about a teacher having an entrepreneurial mindset. So opposed to just being a great teacher with good teaching skills in her toolbox, we wanted to give back to teachers directly, and we only charge a very nominal fee of $5 or $50,000, and we conduct these workshops usually at the weekend on a Saturday for about 2.5 hours, and we get the teachers to go into their mind, and we focus on activities that address their well-being. For example, their growth mindset, even their goal setting, and we talk about what goals that they wish to have or how they see themselves and what they need to do in order to get there. So these are things that are not offered to teachers in normal workshops. They focus more on the technical skills in teaching. So we look at that aspect. And we also, look at the other aspect, which is in the classroom. We give them some various strategies on making their teacher's toolbox. When I say teacher's toolbox, I mean their ideas, their methods. We enrich that with other kinds of activities that we also do. So we give them new activities that they can carry out in the classroom, creative teaching activities, besides the emotional well-being part. And we also address the last point in our workshop about where do they see themselves 5 years, 10 years from now? Because maybe some of them, they find that the job is, teaching is just a job, it's a routine that gives them a paycheck. So maybe they lost their passion. So in this workshop, we want them to reassess and reignite their passion and look at where they are and what their goals are. If their goals are to dream outside of the classroom, it would mean that they cannot just be teaching day in, day out. They need to have a plan and they need to have action steps on how to get there. And we want them to utilize their experience in teaching and their talents in teaching. For example, maybe they want to develop their own tutorial class or the tuition program. Some of them are less teachers, and I think they have to go from house to house, and they earn like maybe 100,000 or 150,000 per session. But I think it's very tiring for them to go house to house or door to door. So we teach them about, you know, the concepts of branding themselves, having their own special method. For example, if they are a math teacher, maybe they have a special method, and they have a, they are able to put that down on paper to have a plan on how to brand themselves, how to develop their math teaching activities, and put it into a series of activity books or lesson plans, and how to market it to attract parents. This is an example of being a teacherpreneur. And there could be other teachers who have more experience, maybe 10, 15 years, but they don't have the self-confidence and the know-how, the strategies on how to be a workshop presenter. Maybe they want to conduct their own workshop in leadership, right? But they don't know how to do that. So that's another avenue. So this is what I mean by teacherpreneur. It's not just only being a great teacher with good teaching skills, but they can think about moving themselves out of the classroom professionally and earning an additional income and being the best version of themselves as they can. Yeah.
So being a teacherpreneur is not just helping you in the classroom, but
that's
also
right.
Improve your...
You've been paying attention to what I was saying.
Yeah. And so it will improve your professional level and also even the personal satisfaction?
I think it will improve themselves professionally, personally, emotionally, mentally, financially, spiritually. Yes. These are the five areas, which I think a lot of the time we don't address because we are busy. And I think... that's what I wanted to do when I give back, is to look at these five areas, which are very important.
And it all starts with the mindset.
Yes, 100%.
How do you see teachers in Jakarta? Do you see many potential teacherpreneurs here?
I think a lot of the time, the teachers are not aware about this concept, teacherpreneur. So we need to make them aware and give them examples of what is a teacherpreneur. We need to talk about their vision for themselves and then explain to them that they can do more than just being in the classroom. Even if they want to stick in the classroom, that's fine. But they can do more in the classroom, becoming, you know, a better classroom instructor, more innovative, more interesting, more creative. That could also probably mean that they get a pay rise, right? Because they will add more value to the school and to the school community. Yeah.
Yeah. So specifically, teachers in Jakarta have these challenges in their classroom, in their teaching methods, and also dealing with that parents' demands, and also career opportunities, and also their superior, their bosses, and even personal achievement. So how does this teacherpreneur mindset will help them?
I think the mindset is back to how you think and feel about yourself, right? And then that would also help you move ahead in your challenges, both inside and outside of the classroom. So the growth-minded teacher would look at a couple of areas, because with a growth mindset means you are indirectly a teacherpreneur. And there are several areas that it will help them. It will help them in their teaching methods. It will help them also with their self-confidence, that's an emotional one, and their self-esteem. Also in terms of their teaching methods, they would have, I think, the desire to want to learn new methods, new interesting, innovative, creative teaching methods. They would, I think, receive the feedback from parents in a more open-minded and in a more constructive way. And I think they would also learn how to communicate with parents, not only professionally, but also, be able to give more constructive feedback to the parents, not only on the academic, but also on the emotional well-being of each and every child. I think besides that would be, they wouldn't just be complacent. They would want to, look at their talents and their passions and explore their potentials on how they could earn an additional income, as I've said before. And professionally, with career opportunities, some of them would not want to dream out of the classroom, but they may want to upgrade themselves. Maybe they would want to be a senior teacher, or they may want to be a curriculum developer within their own school, or even a teacher mentor. So the last point is, I think they have self-satisfaction and self and achievement in themselves. So I think these are generally several points on what is a teacherpreneur and what is a growth mindset. Yeah.
So basically, I can do what I love, which is teaching, and both achieve more as with that entrepreneur mindset.
They have a choice, yes, because they have the knowledge and awareness, and they know the tools and the strategies. Maybe they wouldn't want to run their own tuition classes now, but they have the skills at least, the know-how to do it. Maybe down the road, you never know. Yes.
So it doesn't mean that I have to leave the school, right? I still...
No, we never said that. Mm-hmm. We said that you have choices, more choices for yourself.
I can be a great teacher with that entrepreneur mindset.
Yes, you can be a great teacher both if you choose to earn extra out of the class, you know the steps how to get there. If it's in the class, you would be hungry to, I think, to be upskilling yourself professionally. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Pam. Thank you for this inspiring session.
You're very welcome.
Kita ketemu lagi di sesi terakhir bersama Miss Pamela Siegel. Miss Pamela Siegel adalah founder, director, and trainer dari ESI Kids Singapore. Apa itu ESI Kids Singapore? ESI Kids Singapore adalah education consulting company dari Singapura. ESI Kids Singapore bergerak di bidang pengembangan kurikulum serta training untuk teacher, untuk guru-guru, fokus pada anak-anak usia prasekolah, jadi usia 3 sampai maksimal 7-8 tahun. Miss Pamela ini sudah berpengalaman lebih dari 20 tahun. Dia adalah teacher, dia mengajar, tapi juga sekaligus memberikan training untuk guru-guru. Dia berpengalaman di Singapura, Malaysia, Australia, dan selama 22 tahun terakhir, Miss Pamela banyak menghabiskan waktunya di Jakarta, bekerja dengan guru-guru dan lembaga pendidikan di Jakarta. Dan selama 2 tahun terakhir ini, Miss Pamela Siegel memperkenalkan konsep baru yang sangat menarik, teacherpreneur. Apa itu teacherpreneur? Let's hear it from Miss Pamela. Hello, Pamela.
Hi again, Nawita.
So maybe I want to refresh for this last session.
Okay.
We will talk about teacherpreneur, right?
We will talk only about teacherpreneur.
Yes, you introduced that interesting concept here, teacherpreneur.
Yeah, I had the inspiration when I was in Jakarta to come up with this concept, teacherpreneur. Yes.
So this idea come up here in Jakarta, yeah?
When I was having my martabak and teh tarik.
Wow.
In Gajah Mada.
So, what happened?
Well, I think when I'm having my martabak and teh tarik, I was just thinking about all the conversations I had with the teachers, the observations I had, talking with the school owners and principals, and I realized that they lack something. And I think, it's this lack of that we've mentioned in session number 4, which is probably the growth mindset, and also the point of the lack of opportunities for them to look into their emotional well-being. I know that a lot of the time there are many courses out there that talk about, you know, goal setting, for example. But my context is specifically for teachers. I developed this project as a corporate social responsibility, and I wanted to give back. And why not start in Jakarta? Yeah, why not?
Yeah. So you are conducting some teacherpreneur workshop here in Jakarta?
Yes, I'm actually conducting this workshop, as I said, in session 5 at the weekend. And I think the workshops in itself, we invite teachers who want to help themselves. You can't bring a horse to drink water if it's not thirsty and he doesn't want to drink water, right? So we invite teachers to come. And it's a nominal fee of 50,000 because we just cover our, you know, expenses like the food, the training materials, and the snacks. Yeah, and we have a lot of fun in those sessions. It's a very introspective session where the teachers get a chance to put aside the technical aspects of their job, and they introspectively look within themselves in the career as a teacher. And we want them to look at where they are and also connect the dots to other areas of their life. As I've mentioned, there are 5 areas. They're mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and professionally. So it's holistic because you cannot just look at one point of view when you want to go into someone's well-being. There are other areas as well. So we do that, and we have further intensive sessions, and those sessions we actually have a series. So the introductory one, we do it at a very nominal price, and then we have more intensive workshops, and we have 3 series in that workshop. And series 1, it's called Growth Mindset. Yes, the title is again Growth Mindset, but it's a more intensive, in-depth look into personal growth. Know thyself. That's very important, knowing who you are, knowing yourself in terms of what you're good at, what your challenges are, what your blockages are, what drains your energy. And I think to redefine yourself, it's very important, away from all the noise and pressure in our classroom or in our environment that's very supportive. And that in itself links to your personal growth. And I think we also look at mind blocks, how to break through barriers, emotional barriers especially, that are holding you back. Once you're able to do this, then you can uncover or discover more of your hidden potentials. That's just a summary. And then number 2, we have a series called The Teacher's Toolbox. And we actually collaborate with a very special lady. Her name is Shireen Ratnani. And she's actually a Montessori guru. That's what I like to call her. She's the owner of a chain of childcares in Jakarta called Kiddy Planet. And she herself is a teacher trainer, parenting coach, and a business owner. And she came up with a great workshop called the Teacher's Toolbox. And that's to spark, inspire, and change, to make classrooms that spark. So she goes into the technicalities of your teacher's toolbox in terms of holistic classroom management. Are you very well prepared for your lessons? How do you manage challenging behavior? Different kinds of activities that are inexpensive, actually. I think the other day we had the opportunity to work together with Shireen, and she had this small little box, and she had a string, and then she also had a triangle that she cut from a colored paper, and she had a green leaf. And it was an amazing exercise because she asked the teachers to breathe in and breathe out, and then she asked them to breathe in and breathe out several times according to the length of the string. And she says that helps in focus and mindfulness and concentration. And at the same time, if you trace on the outline of the triangle, right, that's also, the triangle has 3 sides. So you breathe in, and then you breathe out, and you breathe in again, you cover the outline of the triangle. But the best part is it's cost effective, and children love to have sensorial and touch things. So it's like one of the small things in the toolbox to get the children to be more relaxed and more calm. And that's also a part of classroom management as well. So that's a little bit about the teacher's toolbox that Shireen will do. And then the third and final workshop is called Teacherpreneur, where we deal with the teacher as an entrepreneur. And I think in the session 4 and maybe session 3, I talked a little bit about that. And in that particular series, we look at after the growth mindset and teacher's toolbox, I'm sure the participants or the teachers will have a clearer idea about if they have their own plan. For example, if they want to be a workshop leader or conduct their own workshop, they need to know what their workshop will be about and what they're good at. And then they need to create a plan on how to brand their workshop, how to market themselves, and how to get their first customer. So we actually help them with basic entrepreneurial skills. And we also extend the workshop for those teachers that are already ready and confident to discuss their plan. It could be on a piece of paper, but it starts from somewhere, and I will give them free coaching advice. So this is part of the corporate social responsibility that we at ESI Kids in Jakarta is doing. And we hope that we can reach as many teachers as possible that are happy to help themselves.
How can I join the workshop?
Well, you can join the workshop by contacting us from our Facebook page, facebook.com/ESI Kids, and the information is there. In the in our Facebook, there is contact information there, and we regularly update about our weekend workshops. Yes,
you will have the next workshop in the next 1 week, right?
We conduct the workshops in 1 month. We normally do it once or twice. We need a maximum number to have good group dynamics. So it goes on every month, yes. So if they cannot make it this month, there's always the next month, yes. Mm-hmm. Come with an open mind and an open heart, that's what I say.
Yeah. I'm about to ask that. What should I bring to join the workshop? What should I prepare?
You just, besides just the nominal fee of 50,000, be yourself and be open and honest with yourself when you come to the workshop, because you're in an environment where everybody are teachers on the same playing field. Even Sherin is a teacher, Sherin, I'm teacher Pam, and we share our experiences, and we want to leave the workshop with tools and strategies how to move yourself ahead, both upskilling yourself and, you know, to have an additional income outside of the classroom and have a growth mindset, of course.
So this teacherpreneur workshop is one way to that will help teachers to be a successful teacher.
It's one way, yes. It's already well thought out and well planned. That's why we have the introductory workshop, and then we have the intensive workshops, and teachers can choose what they feel is appropriate for them at this point of time.
Okay, so when will you have the next workshop?
We will have the workshop every month. Yeah.
Every month during on weekend, yeah?
On Saturday.
Just on Saturday. So, see you on the next workshop, Pam.
I'll see you on the next workshop, Navita.
Yeah, thank you, Pam.
Thank you, and I think let's go and have a teh tarik after this.
Ah, yeah, I can't wait to have. Thank you.
Thanks.